Off the ball. This is News Talk.
You are very welcome along. It is Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. Shane Hannan with you in for John Duggan for the next 4 hours or so. We're on the air until 5 o'clock today, and loads to come between now and then. It's going to be a busy, busy weekend of sport. The Camogie Finals, of course, take centre stage at Croke Park tomorrow afternoon. 5:15 p.m. is Cork versus Galway tomorrow in the senior decider. We'll look ahead to that game at around 1:30 or so on the show this afternoon with the former Cork manager and All-Ireland winning manager with them, Matthew Toomey, and the former Galway All-Ireland winning player, Aoife Linsky, joining us to look ahead to that game as well. Liam Hogan is a name that you may or may not have heard of, but he's a Meath man who is the pit stop performance coach for Williams Formula One. So an Irishman with a very, very important job with Formula One. He's worked with the Meath senior footballers. He's worked with the Dublin ladies footballers over time as a physiotherapist as well. Really interesting guy. And he's going to be in studio with me between 2 and 3 this afternoon for a sit-down chat about his career and just how he's managed to get himself to that position in Formula One. What an incredible job he has. So Liam Hogan, really, really interesting guy. Stick around for that one at around 2 o'clock. Football Saturday is back. It's finally back. It's been long, what, 7, 8, 9 weeks? Can't remember what it was, but we've missed it. Owen Doyle, Shane Keegan and David Connolly are going to join us for the first one as we look ahead, of course, to the return of Premier League action next weekend, and the Irish teams in action in Europe during the week as well. Shamrock Rovers, Pats and Shelburne with mixed results for those three. But we'll talk all things football between 3 and 5 this afternoon. And of course, the big return Friday night. The Premier League returns to our airwaves next weekend. Loads of other bits to come across the show as well. If you want to get in touch, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent is the text number, or 87918180 for free on the WhatsApp. Did want to mention as well, and I know it's kind of a pat in the back sort of thing, but the JNLRs came out during the week, which is, for those of you who are unaware, the listenership for radio stations. We all kind of pat ourselves in the back every few months or else cry into our pints, depending on the results. This is more of a thank you to everyone who listens to Off the Ball Saturday and indeed Off the Ball Sunday on News Talk here and Off the Ball, because we are at all-time highs, 158,000 on Saturdays, 155,000 on Sundays. So thank you, wherever you are, for listening in to us every single weekend for whatever reason, whether it's in the car or at the house, or if you listen to us because you disagree with everything we say about the world of sport, that's fair enough as well. But thank you anyway for tuning in to us every single weekend here on Off the Ball on News Talk. Delighted to have Sligo and Wexford representation in the studio. Alana Conan, good afternoon.
Hi, Shane.
And Aidan Delaney, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
How are we keeping, folks? We're all good?
Bit worse for wear with my voice, but hopefully it'll hold up now.
I'm feeling similar. Everyone is sick. Why is it that in the summer everyone gets sick? Do you know?
Yeah.
I'm grand through the winter.
I think we just get this kind of sense of invincibility once there's a bit of sun out and we go, it's not really that cold.
Yes.
And you see the rain coming and you think, it's summer rain, so it won't be that bad. And then you kind of just back yourself in situations you probably wouldn't have if it was a bit in wintertime. So
true.
Maybe that's it.
My immune system was also down. I was at All Together Now last weekend, the festival, of course. Now, it wasn't in a tent, it was in a camper van, so relative luxury for a festival, in fairness. But still, 3 nights does take it out of you. I was at the live crappy quiz on the Friday as well.
You got to see the infamous question. So, do you see this during the week?
The question Owen was very proud of. Yeah. Funny. This is the how many pints can
would
fit
in Sam
McGuire.
I'm still yet to find out the answer.
Have you not found out the answer?
No, geez, I must look it up.
I should spoil it for people. I wouldn't spoil it for you. I think I had said, so I think the answer for how many pints can fit in the Sam McGuire trophy that Owen gave, and correct me if I'm wrong, Owen, if he's listening, was 44 pints.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I had said 40, so I was very, very happy with myself sitting in front of Owen. Pretty chuffed. I walked into the crappy quiz and I was thinking, right, just grab a seat at the back here and just kind of melt in with my mates and we'll have a couple of drinks and just enjoy it. The only seats available, of course, right up the front beside the lads. And they all walked out, Colm, Jer and Nathan and Owen as the quiz master. And straight away, I was given a job. Owen spotted me in the crowd and hands me the microphone, tells me to keep the score. And I just wasn't fit for the job, to be honest with you. I gave it to mates around me, to be fair. But yeah, it was great crack. And yeah, that question in particular stood out. But I mean, you always know Owen's going to come out with a couple of bangers, in fairness.
Yeah.
Especially for a festival in front of a live crowd. But it was great crack. And I know Off the Ball did a lot of things in the Go Loud Lounge across the weekend as well. And showed the Lions game, I think, live, the final test on the Saturday morning as well. So it was really a brilliant weekend. Still paying for it a week later. But listen, we're back and Football Saturday's back. We're looking forward to it all.
This is why the Jane Laurs are up.
Exactly.
You battle through and you...
Yeah, yeah. This is the sort of thing people want to hear. Yeah. Have you missed the Premier League, both of you? Does it feel like it never left?
There's definitely a sense of, there's always been something ticking along. Obviously, the Women's Euros was quite a big focus for us during the summer, and then kind of dipping in and out of the Club World Cup as well. So football never really went away. And I think there's just been a real focus on transfers this year as well. A lot of, like, Liverpool have done big business. Chelsea obviously doing big business. Manchester United will come to it today, probably finishing off their business for this year as well. So there's definitely been football in the news, but It really feels like the Championship has started back today, the Scottish Premiership starting back last week. It now feels like we're heading into the football season, and, you know, the kind of sense of relief is coming a bit with it now.
You speak for yourself, sense of relief. I have a Man United allegiance, so I'm actually dreading the incoming season.
It's been a good summer of transfer coups.
This is true. It always is, though, Shane, isn't it?
Just to get your hopes up even worse.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's a funny one, and I'm just looking at the lineup. Manchester United have they're playing Fiorentina in a friendly, and as you said, Aidan, this afternoon, Altay Bayindir in goals, the back three, I suppose, Lenny Yarrow, Harry Maguire, Aidan Heaven, the wing-backs Ahmad and Patrick Dorgu, Casemiro and Bruno Fernandes in the middle, and you have Brian Mbeumo and Mateus Cunha either side of what appears to be Mason Mount. Shows the need for number nine, really, for United, and I know Šeško was unveiled, and that's your starting story today.
Yeah, absolutely. The striker has been signed from RB Leipzig today. Confirmed this morning, the 22-year-old has signed a five-year deal at Old Trafford, with Man United set to pay an initial €76.5 million and €8.5 million in performance-related add-ons. The Slovenian, as you say, unveiled ahead of the game against Fiorentina today. I will just give you the Man United top 10 signings of all time, just in terms of money, just to really put it into focus.
Here we go.
So we have Paul Pogba, Antony, Harry Maguire, Romelu Lukaku, Jadon Sancho, Šeško today comes in at number six, and Mbeumo is just behind him, Rasmus Højlund, Mateus Cunha, and Casemiro. So he's not really joining a killer's row there.
And famously, all of those have worked out. So that's
really well. Harry Maguire's a new man, do you know? Everyone else on that list, that's it. Kind of just sums up the world of football, doesn't it?
I think it's very interesting, ahead of this Fiorentina game today, David De Gea obviously playing in goal for Fiorentina, and he's almost been spoken more about heading into this game. There's pictures of him meeting with Alex Ferguson beforehand. Bruno Fernandes gave him a kind of a trinket before the game today as well. So it's kind of a bit of, remember what we used to have? Remember the club we used to be? Then looking at Andrea Nana and going, this is who we are now.
It's also, though, even if you look at the likes of Scott McTominay and getting the nomination this week for the Ballon d'Or, and it's just like, when these players leave, they're seen in a whole new light and maybe able to come into their own a bit more. So, it's just something about the atmosphere and the vibe.
It's a pressure as well. Yeah. It's a pressure club to go to and to perform. But it obviously still has a draw, because Šeško had the pick of Newcastle, who at the moment are clearly at a higher ebb than United, but they just still had that draw, and they had the draw for Cunha and Mbeumo, even though they finished 15th last season, of European football. So there's still a club that the players want to go to. But it is the hope that kills you, Lan, at the start of each season. Because I think a lot of United fans now, and fans of every club, are sitting there going, this could be the year. This is it. I know, Aidan, you're a Liverpool fan. Like, how do you feel about this new season? It's obviously a tinge with sadness after Diogo Jota's passing, clearly. But on the pitch, I suppose, the hopes are high. Good summer for them in the transfer window.
Hopes
as well.
Are high, all right. Yeah, and listen, obviously coming from the best base to start as is the defending champions, so it's certain something that you're coming into the season and pretty happy. I was chatting with Johnny on the show last week, and I was just saying that I'm a naturally kind of pessimistic person, so I'm going to look for the worst in things. I'm not entirely sure if Isak comes in that it's going to be this kind of case of everything will just slot in well. I can see a bit of a kind of a clash of heads between himself and Salah. I think the forward line particularly works when there's kind of leaders and followers. And when you look at Salah's history at Liverpool, he's always worked best when it's kind of been a striker up front who will kind of defer to him a little bit. Roberto Firmino, Jota, obviously. Even when Luis Diaz went up there, he was very much give Salah the ball and kind of stay out of his way. Isak, if he comes in, I think will be a bit more of a headstrong kind of character. He'll want to be there's a bit more of a main character energy to him. And I can see that clashing a little bit in the same way that kind of Sadio Mane did when he was there as well. So, you know, you kind of need that bit of a buffer in between, and maybe Cody Gakpo will kind of act a bit like that. But obviously he's still a Newcastle player as things stand, but it's going to be very interesting to see what his future is by the end of the summer. If it does stay the way it is, I think Liverpool have made some really nice, shrewd additions. I think there is a case of a lot of signings coming in, and maybe it might take a few weeks to kind of just bed those guys in. what Salah's future going to look like. Obviously, he doesn't really know who he's going to be playing with up front just yet. He doesn't have Trent Alexander-Arnold behind him as well. Frimpong, from what I've seen in preseason so far, that seems to be working out all right. And even Slot has said that when Salah goes, maybe Frimpong could kind of move forward a little bit and kind of move into that right wing position as well. So they seem to have strengthened in all the areas they needed to strengthen. And it's just a case of kind of good work done, more to do.
Yeah, 100%. Liverpool kick off on Friday night as well with their opening game, don't they, as well. So really looking forward to the start of the season. As I said, Football Saturday is on the way between 3 and 5 this afternoon. We will have the former League Football and League of Ireland striker Owen Doyle and the UEFA Pro Licence coach Shane Keegan in studio, and the former Irish international striker as well, David Connolly, on the line to look ahead to that new Premier League season, which gets underway next weekend, as we said. Lana, you were at the Liddy's football final. I know you were covering it as well last weekend. I mean, not the tightest of games that we expected, but still, as you were writing afterwards, this Dublin team could go on to a, I think, yeah. Dynasty was the word you maybe used afterwards.
Yeah, I just get the impression that I think a lot of people framed that match, the Meath Dublin All-Ireland final, as sort of a last dance for quite a lot of players, and it turned out that it was. I know Hannah Tyrrell and a few other players as well have sort of announced their retirement fully in the wake of it. But I think as well what it really showed was just the strength and depth of that Dublin side. Like, they had attacking prowess all over the pitch, but even the fact that Meade didn't score from play until the second half, and a good 5-10 minutes into the second half, it was all just Emma Duggan freeze. And then at that as well, like, anytime anyone got remotely inside what would be the men's 2-point arc, it was just like ferocious. So both ends of the field, they were just extremely impressive. And it could be another dynasty incoming for the Dubs.
Mm. The Camogie then is kind of an interesting one tomorrow, isn't it? Like, you know, Cork and Galway, we've seen them do battle a number of times over the last number of years. Like, Galway's defence has been so mean this year. Like, they really haven't conceded much at all. But then on the opposite side of the spectrum, Cork have just been, you know, their forward line, their full forward line particularly, has been freewheeling. It's been crazy to watch.
Yeah, and obviously going for the three in a row as well. Yeah. So Wexford last did that, I think it's 2010.
Aidan was going to mention that if you hadn't.
2012, yes.
There you go. And then Cork, as a side, haven't done it since 50 years ago. So
that's mad, isn't it?
That's definitely what they're incoming to do. But I think it says it all, like, immediately in the wake of doing the back-to-back last year. That was one of the first things Hannah Looney, obviously fantastic Cork player, she said in her post-match interview. So literally, they're after winning the All-Ireland, second year in
grind
a row.
Begins again.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning,
and she's going, you know, we want to be a generational team and this is what we're setting out to do. And in fairness as well, Hannah Looney, prone to a fantastic post-match interview himself. Remember the first of this three in a row, let's say, if it does actually come off for them, Matthew Toomey, they won it under him. And then she was talking about how they wanted to row the O'Duffy Cup down the Lee, and she did it.
Yes.
So who knows, they might be bringing it down the River Lee again. So that's what they'll be hoping anyways. But I do think it'll be a tight match. Galway are obviously very impressive as well.
A very interesting piece in the 42 today from Sinead Farrell, talking about the Down connection between both sides.
Mm.
Obviously, Niamh Mallon, one of the kind of leading lights in the Galway side now, and Circa McCartan, really kind of forcing her way into the Cork team as well. They're both from Down and were part of a really nice Down team that was starting to come a little bit and then got relegated, and the girls had to move on due to work commitments. So it's quite interesting to look from that point of view to see where these girls have gone on to and kind of progress their career on. And maybe there will be a couple of Down fans in Croke Park tomorrow thinking, you know, just that little bit of regret. Obviously, you want to see the girls do the best that they can do and kind of reach themselves to the highest level, but just a little bit of regret of maybe that could be us one day. And and you know, it's great to see this. You know, there is two kind of hardcore counties in the final and kind of building up this bit of rivalry, but the likes of the Down, the likes of Waterford, Tipperary, it'd be great to see those kind of reaching these stages again and kind of really forcing that kind of duopoly that we had seen in football for years. And then Meath came along and that was kind of such a breath of fresh air for the ladies football, and maybe Camogie just needs a bit one of those again.
Yeah, I love that Down story. That it must be so bizarre for Circa McCartan and Niamh Mallon to be up against each other, you know, for Galway and Cork and not for their native Down. It's bizarre. And Circa, of course, her father Greg was on that great Down team that won the All-Ireland in 1994 as well, so quite a talented family, I think it's fair to say. So looking forward to that one tomorrow. There's loads of great storylines around all of the Camogie finals tomorrow, obviously, as well. The junior final is Armagh Laois at 1 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock is Kerry versus Offaly in the intermediate championship final. Then, as I said, 5:15 p.m. tomorrow, for Cork versus Galway. And we'll, of course, look ahead to that one in around 15 minutes or so on the show. Matthew Toomey, who we just mentioned, and Andy Falinski, former Galway player, will preview that game with us. Some more football on the news around this afternoon, Aidan.
Yeah, let's go to last night, where Derry City moved into second place in the SSC Electricity Men's Premier Division. The Kennedy Stripes played out a scoreless draw with Cork City at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. It also finished nil-all between Drogheda United and Waterford at Sullivan and Lamb Park. Next up for Drogs is a meeting with St Pat's, who are dealing with their European hangover from during the week. And Drogs boss Kevin Doherty says they still have their own European ambitions, and knows there's a big few games left for them.
He's watched another nil all. We've had three nil alls against them already, Pat. We still scored a number of goals. But look, we want to be in those conversations. It's like, again, without going over it, we were as far away as you could be from that. Well, in what everybody was thinking before the season, like literally as far away as you could. So it's brilliant for us to be in that conversation. But I think we should be in the conversation because we have got that quality. We have got a good way of playing. We have got good players. And again, at home, generally, we were playing really, really good performance. As I said, tonight wasn't our absolute best performance, but it wasn't a bad performance either. Like, games are competitive. As I said, look at Cork, look at up in Derry, nil all. You're not going to be going winning. We'd won three in the bounce. That would have been four. Like, draws not the end of the world. But for Stephen, yeah, they'll obviously have a really tough trip. And then they have the cup game against Shells on the Sunday, and it'll be the first. We'll obviously see plenty of them. Look, at this stage, they've played everyone three times, and obviously in Derry's case, we'll play them five times because we have them in the cup. So everyone knows each other inside out at this stage. But now, look, it makes for an exciting final series of games. It certainly does. It's something that we've had exciting final games or final series of games over the last few years, but for being very different reasons. So we're looking forward to being at the other end of it this time.
Yeah, the Drogheda United boss, Kevin Doherty, speaking last night. And of course, you can get all of the reaction every week on a Friday night on the LOI Late Night Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. To all of the reaction to all of the games and League of Ireland football and Off the Ball is brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. There was first division action as well last night, Aidan.
Yeah, big win for Dundalk as they beat Athlone Town by 6-1. It finished Bray Wanderers 0, Cove Ramblers 2. Kerry were beaten 1-0 at home to Finn Harps, and UCD beating Wexford by the same scoreline. The North Dublin Derby is tonight's offering in the top flight here at home. Third place Bohemians can go back ahead of Derry with a win away to defending champion Shelburne. Kickoff at Toka Park is at 5:00, and then at 7:30, Longford Town host Treaty United in the first division.
It's friendly season. I know you mentioned before we came on air today the friendly that's at the Aviva, 3:00 this afternoon. Leeds United versus AC Milan. Saw a lot of Leeds fans. I had forgotten the game was on. I saw a lot of Leeds jerseys around the city today. Like that's the sort of friendly that gets the buzz going, isn't it? Because normally before a season starts, it's hard to get fans invested, but when a club travels to, like Leeds travelling to Ireland to play a match, so many Leeds fans, you know, in this part of the world, and to play a team of the calibre of AC Milan is a brilliant opportunity. I'm trying to think what my favourite ever pre-season friendly I ever attended was. I remember playing as a kid at half-time of Monaghan United versus Celtic under-23s.
Oh, wow.
And we took a penalty. It was a penalty shootout at half-time, but do you know the old school American penalty shootouts where you ran from the halfway line with the ball? Had to, you know, lob the keeper or go around the keeper or whatever. Bring those back.
Yeah,
they were fantastic crack. And I didn't fancy my chances. The keeper was an adult and I was maybe 12 years old. So I didn't fancy taking around him. So I literally just, shot from distance. Managed to lob him. He came out, but it's just too easy. You know, if you don't have to take it around the keeper, I mean, you're not going to take him on.
No.
Wasn't brave enough, in fairness.
I thought you were going to end that. And that was the day I saw James Forrest for the first time. That Celtic under 23 side or something like that.
Yeah. Messi was playing, actually. Yeah. I can't remember who. I know Darren O'Dea was playing, I think, for that Celtic team, and that's about the height of it. I'm sure there's a couple of other players that aren't great things, but
he didn't want to swap shirts with you or anything.
Fairness, he didn't. No, I can't blame him. Fairness. The football is back as well in the Championship. I don't know if you mentioned that already. Maybe you did.
Yeah, we've got a couple of games underway already. Wrexham obviously taking in a lot of the eyeballs today. It's just gone half time in their game with Will Still's Southampton. It's 1-0 to Wrexham in that game. A Josh Windass penalty has separated the sides there. Gavin Mzunu starting for Southampton in goals there, and Ryan Manning on their bench. James McLean, captain of Wrexham, but on the bench for them today as well. It's scoreless in the other two games so far. That's Charlton 0, Watford 0, and Coventry 0, Hull City 0. In some of the other games on today, then we've got Middlesbrough versus Swansea City at 3:00. At the same time, Norwich take on Millwall. It's Oxford versus Portsmouth, QPR taking on Preston, Stoke and Derby, and then it's West Brom and Blackburn. The final game of the day is Sheffield United at home to Bristol City.
The Women's Rugby World Cup preparations continue?
Yeah, just the second half just underway in Belfast, where Ireland are taking on world number two side Canada. It's the visitors who lead that one by 33 points to 7 so far. The Irish score coming from Bavin Parsons midway through that first half. Dana O'Brien slotting home, and Ireland played a lot of that first half with 14 players after Niamh Jones, who's captaining the side today, she was yellow carded.
It's hard to know what you really want from these games, isn't it? Like, it's, you obviously don't want to get battered out the gate by any team in a warm-up match, but it's about getting minutes into the legs and getting a bit of confidence amongst the squad.
Nice to see Bevan Parsons on the scoreline, yeah. Obviously coming back off injury. I know she was in the squad at the time of the latter Six Nations games, but didn't get many minutes, so it's great to see her coming back to full form, hopefully.
Yeah, 100%. Just working those combinations as well, you know, that we maybe haven't seen players get the opportunity to do in recent months. So just getting all those players back in the pitch is really exciting. The 10th Women's World Cup is the 22nd of August, isn't it? It gets underway. I know we're going to have all the coverage from it as well. I think Susanna Mullen is heading over for us. Stephen Kisby Green is there for us in Belfast today. So we'll have all the reaction to that one on the Off the Ball social channels across the day. Fiona Hayes will be on the show tomorrow as well. Reflecting on that game and looking back on all the key moments, and hopefully, as we said, touch wood, no injuries or major moments from that end of things to speak of. Any other bits and bobs going on in?
Yes, just a pair of women's Interpro derbies in the rugby today as well. Leinster facing Ulster in the opening game of the day at 2:30, and it's Munster and Connacht meeting from 4:15. In hockey then, the Netherlands providing a tough test for Ireland as they begin their Women's Euro Hockey Championship campaign today. Sarah Hawkshaw will lead her side against the number one seeds in Mönchengladbach later. It's 7 years since these countries met in the World Cup final, the Dutch coming out on top in that occasion. That game tips off at 2:30 today. The other sides in Group A, France and hosts Germany, will clash from 5:00. In athletics news, Precious Apke Moses booked her place in the finals of the 200 metres at the European Under-20 Championships this afternoon. The Blackrock clubwoman has won her heat in a personal best of 23.6 seconds. She'll return for the decider just after 3:30. She's the younger sister of Gina, who was a winner at this grade in the previous years. She also took a 7th place finish in the final of the 100 metres yesterday. And Dubim Ama picked up another personal best, but couldn't find his way into the men's 200 metre final. His time of 21.3 seconds was the personal best, but just 0.01 second outside the qualifying time in Finland. And then in racing, there's an 8 race card at the Curragh this afternoon that's getting underway at 2:45. And the first of 7 races this evening at Kilbeggan goes to post at 5:30.
Do want to mention as well, road trip reruns or doing nothing at all. There's an iced coffee for every kind of weekend. Whatever your weekend vibe, find it at Braeburn Coffee, only at Apple Green. I mentioned we'd have Liam Hogan in studio from 2:00, who's a Meath man, who is the pit stop performance coach and physiotherapist with Williams Formula One. I can't think of a job that I know I would be so useless at as working in the pit stop of a Formula One team. Like, the speed at which their brains must be operating. Do you know, like, you see them obviously practicing, putting the wheel on or whatever it might be, whatever your role might be, and just doing the stopwatch. And, like, you know, it might be whatever, say 5, 6, whatever number of seconds, is probably more than that. But, and then they're so disappointed if they're like 0.2 of a second off what they've just, you know, it's the mechanics of that, just excuse the pun, are mind boggling.
Like, pressure of it as well. Yes. Like, oh, I can't imagine.
If everyone else is exactly 100% perfect and you are just off it by a little bit, I'd say, like, the stress and the turnover in that job as well. You know, I'd say at the top, particularly, the gap between people is so fine and
yeah, that'd be an interesting talking point as well. Like, what's sort of your prime of your career in that regard? Because I'm sure you have to have the focus and the quick ability there as well.
Yeah, it's a very short window, I'd say. I just know I would be useless. Like, I don't know which part of it I would be the least useless at, but I just know it'd be extremely difficult. Like, you'd be so inside yourself in terms of your mental, like, capacity. You cannot be thinking about anything else. You cannot be thinking about what you're having for dinner that evening. You couldn't even enjoy, like, you couldn't have a drink.
No.
Do you know, even like a week before, I'd be like sitting, even if you had one bottle of beer the week before, I'd be like, is this going to
give the shakes?
Is this going to give me the shake? Is this going to impact me?
Yeah. It does lead to one of the funniest images in sport when something like that goes wrong and a wheel just goes off on its own and it's just kind of, it's totally, you know, free, and it's like you can put whatever music you like over it because it's just kind of rolling down and it's totally unstoppable at that stage as well. You kind of just have to let it go and then it's just bounce, bounce, bounce. It's one of my favorite images in sport. You just see, obviously, from the mechanics point of view, it's absolutely devastating, and you want to make sure that nobody gets actually hurt. But yeah, just to see this wheel just bouncing away, just freedom, finally happy, you know, it's like one of those horses that just kind of disrobes its rider and just kind of goes off on its own. You're like, I'm just happy for him.
Yeah, you know? crazy stuff. So Liam Hogan going to be in studio from 2 o'clock. We'll chat to him about all of that and his incredible career with Williams Formula One team. I've seen a video of the Benjamin Šeško walk on the parade, I suppose, before the kickoff. He's a big lad.
Mm.
I know we say that about a lot of footballers. I think he's like 6'5" anyway, but he just has that presence. I've said this about footballers before who are tall and didn't end up being that good.
Yeah, well, Amorim was talking about in the pre-season friendlies there that he was talking about how the United side are quite small. So
yeah,
probably needs some additions like that. So it'll be interesting to see, can he make the impact now?
100%.
And maybe Amorim will put him centre-back as well when things start to go wrong around October and it's, you know, needs to fill in at back three.
As it could tend to do, yeah. United have equalised in that friendly as well. I'm bringing up speed in all the friendlies.
An OG.
Robin Gosens' own goal 25 minutes after Simon Solm had given Fiorentina the lead on 8 minutes at Old Trafford.
Best sign in the summer, OG.
Yeah, yeah. Great player, that OG. Scores plenty, in fairness. Predictions, guys? I know it's the day before the Camogie final, but how do you see Galway-Cork playing at tomorrow 5:15?
I think Cork to win, but I do think it'll be tight. Obviously, last year's final showcased that it was 3 points in it in the end. I know the league final, there was a bit more in it, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see as well. Do Galway go what Waterford kind of did and try and play a sweeper, or how they'll play it defensively? Mm. I'm not sure what you think, Eden.
Yeah, I think, you know, that kind of weighs a history on Cork coming in. You know, like you say, they've been focusing on this since last year's win. So it's definitely the kind of momentum feels like it's with Cork. Getting over that test against Waterford last time out, I think, as well, was really kind of key to their development. And it's a case of if Cork can play to their ability and make sure that they don't have a men's style collapse in that final, I think they can certainly make it 3 in a row.
What's the pressure on Cork too to get, considering what happened in the men's final? I know they keep it separate and the Camogie team won't be thinking about that and the men's team weren't thinking about the Camogie team, but it does add a little bit of pressure.
It's in fans' minds and fans' minds. It stands there.
Something
and
to care about.
PTSD.
Yeah. I'm still not over that. I was in Boston in a mate's house watching that hurling final and halftime. You're thinking, that's it. Mm. Jesus, what happened in that second half? Anyway, we'll not dwell on it. For all the Cork people who've just turned off the radio.
Yes.
Yeah, we've just dropped in listeners after praising all of them at the start of the show. Alana Cannan, Eden Delaney, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The news around for that this afternoon. Loads, as I said, still to come between now and 5 o'clock. We're on the air. Until then, we have Football Saturday, the first one of the new Premier League season, which of course returns on Friday. Owen Doyle, Shane Keegan and David Connolly joining me to look ahead to that and discuss the Irish teams in European action during the week as well. As I said, between 2 and 3, Liam Hogan, who's a Meath man, who's a performance coach with Williams Formula 1 on his incredible career. But after this, after this ad break on Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk, it is time to preview that Cork-Galway Camogie final. We will have Matthew Toomey and Aoife Linsky. Stay with us.
Off the Ball on News Talk.